tap, 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 whip, bop, tap, tap, tap. Rosemary in the bag and tied around my Andy for my protection. I'm walking around, big old sack on my back, coming in your direction. What kind of tea do you like? I got it. I'm the medicine man, herb from the land, yeah. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. See, rosemary, calm your nerves, got peppermint leaf to get rid of my fever. I keep periwinkle to get some love now. Whoa, I gotta hug me clothes to make my backbone strong. Gold and cola, tonic for my blood, dandelion for my bones, y'all. I can leave to keep away flies. Hot lady cayenne for my pressure. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Get the children out the way now. No, you can't smoke this, sir. This is for salad. Yes, for salad. Herb man, herb, herb man.
And good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of To Your Health. To Your Health is a program designed not only to inform, but to also turn your life and health around. And I'm Dr. Theodore Watkins, the host of To Your Health, and I'm here with my able, trusty assistant and producer, Mr. Frank Smith. How are you doing this afternoon, Brother Frank?
I'm doing well, Doc. Support for To Your Health comes in part from Dr. Theodore Watkins, our host, and he's of the Watkins Institute. Dr. Watkins advocates holistic medicine and teaches lifestyle changes. Further information is available at twiliving.com.
You know, Frank, we're going to talk today about a subject that's very, very important that a lot of people don't think about. And I'm going to ask you if you could please introduce our guest who's going to help to assist us in understanding this most vital topic, somatic trauma.
We have Angela Forrest today. She's the founder of and senior health advisor of Robust Health Advocacy. She meets people where they are in their health journeys by providing comprehensive, holistic support for those dealing with chronic health conditions through compassionate and strategic engagement combined with in-depth research and a growing data set of innovative results-based treatments and practitioners. Angela collaborates with clients to empower them in finding lasting solutions to their health challenges using advocacy, education, and intuitive knowledge. Welcome, Angela Forrest.
Thank you so much. I'm very, very pleased to be here, and I'm very happy to be available to discuss this very important topic, which is really, in today's society, very, very relevant.
So, Angela, how would you define somatic trauma? What is somatic trauma? What is trauma?
Right. So trauma is really, it can refer to either an actual physical injury or physical assault to the body, such as being in a car accident or being beaten up or hit. It can also refer to bullying. So psychological, emotional abuse, like bullying, verbal abuse, emotional abuse, manipulation, and control. I think it's really important to emphasize, even though living in a Western, in the Western society, we tend to view trauma as exclusively as a psychological and emotional event a lot of times. But I think it's important to acknowledge that it can affect us physically and mentally. And because there really is no separation between body and mind, it typically happens to both body and mind concurrently. So a lot of people want to separate it. It's like, oh, I only had a physical injury, or I only experienced bullying. But the reality is, if you experience bullying, there's going to be a physical consequence. And if you were in a car accident, there's going to be a psychological and emotional consequence to that.
So how does it impact an individual? We think about trauma, we think about, you know, getting hit upside the head, and you get a big knot on your head, and once the knot goes away, the pain goes away, then you're fine. I think you're suggesting that there are other impacts on the individual.
Yes. So, you know, it impacts people in various ways, right? Because it depends on the individual, their physical and their psychological and emotional makeup. It depends on how they respond to what's happened to them. So another thing that people emphasize who are experienced with in dealing with trauma, they will say that two people can experience what seems to be the same event. So in other words, two people can go through a car accident, right? They might even have similar injuries. But because we are different, because our physical and psychological, emotional makeup is different, one person might experience significantly more consequences in terms of trauma than another person. And that is just the nature of our uniqueness as human beings. So as far as the impact, the actual impact that people can experience, they can have flashbacks, they can have nightmares, they can be triggered. We talk a lot about PTSD, which is a common experience as a result of experiencing trauma, which is post-traumatic distress syndrome. I believe that's right. Post-traumatic stress. Yeah, I believe that's disorder, I believe. PTSD, which is when basically the trauma has embodied you, mind, body, spirit, oftentimes. So there's physical, a lot of people will have physical symptoms like digestive problems. They'll have panic attacks. They'll have depression. So again, it really is a body mind experience that people will have as a result of being exposed to a physical and or psychological emotional injury.
So, does the person know how they're going to respond, Where does this even start? You know, the response that people have, is this something that just all of a sudden comes, or is it, are we born with it? Is it innate? What causes one to respond one way and another person to respond another way?
That's a great question. I think one way to answer it is a lot of us are born into trauma, and that could be either we are born into a family where there's a high level of dysfunction and violence and drug addiction and or mental health problems. And then we are often born into trauma through intergenerational trauma, so trauma that has happened to people who came before us, because again, the research is finding that trauma and people's responses to it actually can be carried forward in our DNA. So those experiences, and they can be carried forward psychically in our spirits, in our minds, in our bodies as well. So a lot of people, either if they experience intergenerational trauma, immediate family trauma, or direct personal trauma, do not know that they have been impacted by it at all. You know, many people will have a, you know, they'll be in a car accident, or they'll be beaten up or something, or bullied, and they leave that situation where the event happened. They leave the job, or they leave the violent relationship, and they're just like, yeah, I'm done with this situation. I'm moving forward. And they're like, I'm fine. But in most cases, they're not fine. Mm-hmm. And I think over time, you'll start to see, the individual will start to see either that they have start to have physical problems, you know, they might develop panic attacks, they might have a total collapse where they're unable to function, unable to even get up in the morning, get out of the house, right? This is all of the impacts of the trauma, the psychological and the physical impacts are hitting them, and they had no idea. And sometimes when it happens like that, you know, like where somebody experiences major depression, anxiety, or in most cases, a physical symptom, severe, you know, digestive problems, heart problems, they will automatically assume it has nothing to do with the traumatic experience that occurred, you know, happened days, weeks, or even years ago. But a lot of times there is a connection.
So it sounds to me that the psychological, emotional impact of the trauma here that you're talking about far exceeds the physical in many instances. The physical can be paralysis or recurrent headaches or something like that. So that's bad. But this psychological seems like that can have a more devastating impact on an individual.
Mm-hmm. When you're talking about, I think it's relative, right? I think when you're talking about individuals who have gone to, like, for great example, veterans, right? People who have gone into war, and they come back, and they simply cannot function in the society anymore. They cannot get out of bed. They are triggered all the time. They hear a car backing up, and they think it's a gunshot, and they crouch down on the ground. I mean, this is an example of post-traumatic stress disorder. This is an acute, extreme, severe impact of experiencing prolonged, in most cases, trauma, right? So it is about degrees. It is about degrees. So in that type of situation, people who have PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder often have physical symptoms, right? It is a physical and an emotional experience. I would not say that the psychological, emotional is more dominant than the physical. It really depends on the person, and it really depends on how aware they are of their own body and their own mind and their own understanding of what's happening to their body and their mind.
But it sounds to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that even the physical impact often is dependent or is affected by that psychological impact, that residual, that psychological residual that's there.
I think definitely in many cases that is true, but sometimes you can also just have, again, the physical, simply physical symptoms, or the person only recognizes physical symptoms. Conversely, you can exclusively have someone experiencing psychological and emotional symptoms predominantly and only recognizing that. So, of course, what you're saying, Dr. Watkins, is totally correct, because the mind and the body are not separate. The mind is affecting the body, and the body, so the mind, if you're experiencing, you know, terror attacks, panic attacks, depression, that is definitely affecting the body, no question.
So
conversely,
you know,
the body can affect the mind too.
So when the patient comes into me and they're complaining of headaches or numbness or some symptom, and we check them out and there's no obvious physical reason for that, and then we go back and we start looking and we see that to a great degree it is being triggered by that emotional, because that's what I see, you know. For instance, I notice, and this is perhaps to an extreme, but I notice cancer patients. All of my cancer patients, except one, in the over 40 years that I've been practicing, has been under significant stress for at least 2 years prior to the onset of the cancer. And most of them don't even make that association. All right. It's only after I talk about it and bring it to their attention that they recognize, yes, you know, I was under stress. You know, I was going through a divorce, you know, had a couple parents that died. Something happened that really triggered, you know, I lost my house. Boom. And then 2 years later, here they're diagnosed with cancer. Tell me, how did you get interested in even looking at this thing called somatic trauma?
Yeah, I mean, really, how did it start? It started with me starting. I was a journalist for 13 years. I will start out by saying that. And I think to be a journalist, I'm still a journalist. I've always been a journalist. I think I've always had a curiosity about life, about my life. I started to realize that I was experiencing a lot of physical distress, before I started having digestive problems, I had, by the time I was a teenager, I pretty much had pretty severe social anxiety. Really, in the past couple of years, because what happens is, you know, like if you're born into a traumatic family like I was, I was born into a family where there was domestic violence. My father was also an alcoholic, and he physically and emotionally abused my mother and my second oldest brother. And so I carried those kinds of wounds with me into adulthood. And what happens a lot of times is as you experience trauma as a child and then you become an adult and you have more traumatic experiences, because I just think it's really important to know nobody escapes having traumatic experiences. There's not a human being on this planet who is born and then dies and doesn't have trauma. It is simply a part of the human experience. So as people kind of grow and go into adulthood, as I did, and you have more traumatic experiences, it can actually trigger, for me, what it did is it triggered a realization that from the body-mind perspective, like a memories of previous trauma that I had not addressed. And specifically, the thing that really triggered a lot of my childhood traumas and really forced me to figure out how to deal with all of this was when I was working as a federal contractor for a government agency. And in June of 2023, I was assaulted while doing my job. It was a social event, but it was job related. And I was assaulted and I fell apart, like literally. I became the person, I experienced PTSD. And that actually triggered memories of going through another very major traumatic experience as a child where I witnessed my father almost kill my second oldest brother in front of me, and I had to intervene to prevent my brother from being hurt and was killed. And I had to deal, I all of a sudden, it all just kind of collapsed on me. Like, I physically collapsed. I mentally and emotionally collapsed from really the realization that I had been born into trauma, had lived through it. I had denied it because that was part of my family, to deny bad things happening, and then carry that into adulthood. But once I had that very, very bad workplace abuse, assault situation, it just broke everything open. And so for me, after I crawled out of my kind of deep hole of depression and PTSD, I realized I actually need help. And the first thing that I did, which what I really want people to think about this, you know, because I had recognized I had problems from my childhood. I had done therapy. I had done talk therapy. Right? I thought I was good. I thought I had worked through a lot of things, actually, before 2023. But that wasn't true. And the reason why it wasn't true is because the trauma was still in my body. Mm-hmm. The body, mm-hmm. You may have been heard of the book, The Body Keeps the Score. This is a very well-known book that was written. And the point of the book is that when we have trauma, like I said earlier, a lot of people go through trauma, car accident, domestic violence. They get through it. They tell themselves in their mind, they're done with it. They're moving forward. But the body doesn't forget it. The body internalizes this. And over time, if you don't release the trauma from the physical body, it will manifest and turn into disease, turn into cancer, mm-hmm. turn into mm-hmm. heart disease. Turn into, you know, let's go down the list. And so for me personally, that's when I realized two really important things I needed to do. Number one, I needed to find a trauma-informed therapist, because I had been going to non-trauma-informed therapists for a decade, right? The importance of dealing with a trauma-informed therapist, I cannot understate how important it is to find somebody who is trained and who understands what happens to people when they go through trauma. The second big thing that I did was I started to learn about somatic trauma relief. What is somatic trauma relief? It is, in essence, releasing trauma from the body. So I had trauma going back 40 plus years, okay, from my childhood that had stayed in my body that entire time. And it was manifesting as, for me, as anxiety, severe anxiety during my teens, my 20s. It then manifested as severe digestive problems in my 30s and my 40s. So again, it just, if you don't release it from the body, it just kind of starts to break you down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so how did this parlay into a business for you?
Yeah. Great question. So after I was assaulted as part of my job for this federal agency in June 2023, and I had this crash, this physical, emotional crash, psychological crash, I had a little bit of a moment of clarity where I said to myself, you know, what do you want to do with your life? Like, do you want to keep working for people? Do you want to? Because I, in all fairness, the incident in June 2023 was kind of like the cherry on the top of 9.5 years of working for this agency and experiencing a lot of verbal abuse, a lot of dehumanizing treatment. I was exploited. I was also physically assaulted before working for this agency in 2019. Yeah, very bad, right? Very, very hostile environment. Very, very othering environment. And I stayed in it. How did I get to my business? So, you know, I think I had reached the point where it's like, I don't want to work for anybody ever again permanently. Like, I never want to be in a situation where I'm dependent on working for somebody else and 100%, and my income is coming from that type of work environment. I had wanted to start a business for at least 15 years, and I do feel like it was a divine guidance moment where I really felt like, okay, now you need to do your own business. You need to do your own thing. You need to let your light shine. You need to step forward and help people, because I do feel like at the end of the day, when we go through these very painful, difficult, traumatic experiences, if we're able to sit with ourselves and really listen and pay attention, we can hear what the lesson is. There's always a lesson. And so for me, the lesson was stop playing small and start standing up and create a business and work on healing yourself and work to heal others.
Yes. So we talked on the phone extensively about this mass trauma that we're going through today with the events, the political events, and what's going on, and we know that it's going to get worse. So how do we help ourselves, friends, family, the community who experience these traumatic events?
Yes. And so that is a very, very real thing. And I'm glad that you brought that up. We can be traumatized by witnessing things on YouTube. Mm-hmm. We can be traumatized when we open up our phone and we see, you know, like all of the things that are happening with ICE, right? And people are not only seeing it on their phones, they're stepping outside of their houses and literally seeing people being kidnapped, people being, you know, wrestled to the ground, screaming. This is we are living in extraordinary times. Like, this is just, for me, and during my lifetime, I've never seen anything like this in this country. And so what can we do? I mean, I think the biggest thing that we can do is, and I've been trying to do this with my friends, with my family, is to be there for people, is to, when we are talking to our friends, our family, our community members, to be active listeners, to sit and be witness to what they are experiencing in the moment without judgment and without any type of really input. Let them tell their story. Let them speak. Let them express, whether they're talking, they're crying, they're yelling. Just give them space to let it out, to express everything that they're feeling. I think that's the number one thing, because, you know, if another form of trauma actually is when people do express and tell their truth, tell their story, and they're not heard, and they're not listened, and they're not respected. That is an additional trauma that is put on the person who has already been traumatized and is trying to tell their story. So that is why it's so important to listen to people and to validate, even if you are not sure. You know, if you're not even sure what they're saying is accurate or true, do not interject in a moment. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to have to excuse myself. But Frank, you may want to open this up to our listening audience, because this is such a powerful, powerful discussion. And I'll try to, if I can, jump back on a little later. But I want to thank you so much for coming, and we may have to have a part two of this. This is, I think, impacting more people than we could imagine.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Watson. Appreciate it.
So you might want to call 202-588-0893 for questions or comments. Ms. Forrest.
Yes, yes.
You didn't finish your statement.
No. Go ahead.
Okay. What can people actually do to manage trauma in their daily lives?
Yes. So there's a lot that we can do. I referred to earlier somatic trauma release. I encourage people to Google somatic trauma release exercises. So there are specific exercises. A lot of them are tied to yoga. So if for our listeners, if you do yoga, there are specific movements, particularly movements that are related to hip opening exercises and exercises that really try to loosen and help our back relax, because a lot of people hold trauma in their hips, in their back. That's where a lot of physical trauma is held. There are, so that's number one, because if you want to get immediate, if you're in a urgent state where you're in distress, right? First of all, if you're in a very, very urgent state and you're in severe physical and or psychological distress, please call 911. Please call 911, right? Because if you're in a situation where you're feeling like physically you're in terrible shape, or you're suicidal, you're feeling extremely depressed, suicidal, please call 911, because that is we want to make sure that people are able to be safe and to be taken care of, right? So that would be my ultimate number one. And then for people who are just feeling that stress, feeling that tension in their body, feeling emotionally, they're feeling anxious, they're agitated, right? They're frustrated. I would encourage people to do some of these somatic movements. Like I said, a lot of the movements help release trauma through moving the hips and moving that kind of lower back area, moving the legs. And I work in my, through my company, I work with clients on this. And there's a million videos on YouTube. Again, just Google somatic trauma release. I would like to highlight a particular person that I have used, and she has so many free services. Her name is Arielle Schwartz. So her first name is Arielle, and then last name Schwartz. The reason I highlight her is because she is just an incredible, she's a psychotherapist, but she does extensive work in somatic trauma. She is a trauma-informed specialist. She's actually based in Colorado. But if you Google her name, she has a website, and she has tons of free resources, and she does free yoga periodically. But you can also find her on YouTube, but she also has free yoga, live yoga sessions that she does. And she focuses on those yoga movements that are very, very attuned to releasing trauma. So I want people to try and connect with her, because I connected with her online, you know, through her videos. She's very compassionate. She's very empathetic. We are living in a society right now where words like compassion and empathy are being treated as if they're dirty words. They're unacceptable. Now, let me tell you, empathy, compassion are necessary for healing from trauma, okay? We need to have compassion for ourselves. If we've experienced trauma, we need to have compassion for others who've experienced trauma. We need to have empathy for ourselves, for our friends, for our neighbors, for people around the world. This is the only way that we're going to be able to heal ourselves and heal our society from trauma. Because people who, let's talk a little bit about the people who engage in damaging and abusive behavior, okay?
Before you start, we got a caller on the line. If you got a question or comment, call 202-588-0893. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
This is Rick calling you long distance from Germany, brother.
Hey, Rick. We haven't heard from you in a while.
And I would like to say hello to your guest. I would like to ask
hello,
the sister.
Hello.
I would like to ask the sister about suicide clinics. Here in Europe, suicide clinics are growing. Do you think suicide clinics will become a thing there in America very soon?
That is a very good question. I really appreciate you calling in and asking this question. I'm going to say, based on how our current government leadership is proceeding and managing our country, I would say no. However, I will also say that I know that people in this country are doing a lot of work to help themselves and help others recover from trauma. And so I believe that there will be a grassroots movement, and I think there is already, I mean, particularly in our school system, where children have just really experienced a lot of trauma since COVID. There's already many, many programs that exist, and I think there will be more programs that exist that are really helping people of all ages deal with, release trauma, and become more resilient to deal with the turbulent times that we're living in. So I guess it's a split answer. I would say at the highest levels of our government and leadership, it's not going to happen. But we, the people within the United States, are already developing these programs, and I expect them to proliferate to deal with the tremendous need.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. 202-588-0893. We're talking about somatic trauma and its devastating effect upon our health. It actually causes disease. It's memorized in every cell of our body, and it causes us to be hypervigilant, always on guard, which raises the chemicals that will hype us up. So we got another caller. Caller, you're on the line.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I wanted to recommend a couple of works. One is by a Dr. Gabor Mate. He's done extensive mm-hmm. research regarding the effects of trauma on physical health, the effect or the manifestation of disease. And one thing in particular is interesting about his work. In Japan, women see the leaving of the children the time after menopause as a second spring. And in Japan, they don't experience menopausal issues as American women do, who sometimes see it in a negative light. And then to go on, another author I would like to recommend for specifically.
Spell the first author's name.
Gabor is G-A-B-O-R, and his last name is Mate, M-A-T-E. And he has some excellent videos online as well.
Okay, good.
The second one is specifically for individuals of African descent, called Addicted to White. And what's remarkable about that book, it's a workbook that helps people to work through psychological oppression and to recreate an identity that is healthy. And it's by Jerome Fox, Jerome E. Fox.
Okay.
And what was the title again? Addicted to White.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Another is, of course, Louise Hay, who did some remarkable work with associating the physical manifestations of all sorts of experiences, both conscious and unconscious, and even that predate you. One thing that is really interesting about trauma is that it takes an experience of three generations, or it takes three generations to experience trauma for it to be passed down in your psyche, in your body, in your DNA. And many people don't understand how just deep it can be one's unconscious history. And the last thing I would love to recommend is a gentleman that does fascia relief work. And his YouTube is called The Body Garage. Actually, it's The Body Garage TV. And he's put a lot of exercises on that are extremely effective in helping to open up the body and loosen up the fascia and get you moving. And the last thing I would like to say is that none of it will work unless you make a very serious and undeterred commitment. It gets hard, it's uncomfortable, it's ugly, but if you don't work through it, it's just going to stick with you for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Very true. Right. Thank you so much.
Paula.
I am very familiar with Gabor Mate's work. I'm familiar with Louise Hay's work. I'm not familiar with the one book reference, but it sounds very interesting. I think... I wanted to just briefly mention the impact of with African Americans in the United States, right? Being descended from people who were enslaved, and so that was that. There's that trauma, yep. Right, in and of itself, mm-hmm. And then the additional trauma of living in a society where that experience is denied, the pain of that experience is denied. The suffering of that experience is denied consistently. That is an additional trauma on people, African-Americans, on people of African descent who live in this country. And yeah. I would like to encourage, I think culturally, African-Americans tend to shy away from looking at trauma and addressing trauma. I think there is a cultural tendency to want to suck it up. We promote the idea of the strong Black woman. We promote the idea of, you know, being strong and kind of powering through. And I just really want to speak to the African American community and really encourage people to not do that. Because of everything we just talked about today, because of the fact that trauma lives in our bodies and you can't think your way out of trauma. You really have to, like the second caller emphasized, you really have to go in deep. You really have to face it. You really have to be committed to exploring the painful things that happen. Now, here's the beauty of somatic trauma release. Okay. The beauty of doing physical movements to release it. And that, in that instance, you don't need to know what it is that is ailing you. You don't need to know every single painful experience, because a lot of times people don't even remember what's happened to them, or it's intergenerational, right? It came before them. And so in those instances, doing physical movements, is your best bet, because when you do the physical trauma release movements, it frees you. It frees your body to heal. Mm-hmm. It frees your mind to be able to have the inner strength to perhaps explore the things that may have happened. Now, here's the reality. Some people never want to look back. They never want to look at their past. And if you're the kind of person that is like, it's happened in the past, it's over, it's done with, there is a very high probability that you're, if you had a very difficult previous life experience, that you're gonna have physical problems and emotional problems the longer you live, unless you deal with
it. Good point. Good point. So, we have to examine our past and what
Both individually and societally. And societally, right? I mean, I think from a societal perspective, we're seeing the consequences right now of an America that has not examined the wounds of its past, honestly.
Yeah.
We are seeing those consequences playing out in real time every day.
Yep. And how is that manifested? I think it's in the murders, the mental health, the, you know, mass killings.
The mass shootings, the school shootings.
Yep.
We're seeing it with just the
drug abuse,
vicious brutality that people are being treated, like immigrants are being treated with. Some of whom are not immigrants at all, okay? Some of them are American citizens.
And even down to the obesity, you know, the lack of, you know, the health, the lack of physical health. It's here. It's here. So
the comfort food. I'm a big, I'm a big stuffer. So if you, you know, like a lot of people who stuff their emotions, the way they stuff their emotions is by stuffing down a lot of food. To cover up the pain of, you know, trauma.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Addictions, period. So time, we got time to just give your contact information and what you can do to help us out of that.
So... My business is called Robust Health Advocacy, and you can reach me via phone 240-997-3995. I can also be reached via email. My email address is my last name, which is Forest, like the trees, F-O-R-E-S-T, and then A-N-G, so forestand@mail.com, not Gmail, mail.com, so forestand@mail.com. You can find me on LinkedIn. I am getting ready to launch a new improved website in the coming days. It's not currently available, but you can, if you are on LinkedIn, you can find me there. But right now, primarily, I can be reached through my email, my phone number. And lastly, I just want to announce that I am preparing to do a 5-day mini course starting October 6th. And it is focused on personal health advocacy, which I consider another element of having robust health. What is personal health advocacy? It's essentially gaining your own knowledge and insight to your physical health issues, your physical illnesses, and using that to advocate with your health practitioners in a proactive, constructive way so that you can heal. And I'm going to be starting that October 6th. It's going to be free. It's going to be on Zoom. Anybody who's interested, please contact me via my email, forestand@mail.com, not Gmail, @mail.com, or 240-997-3995, and then you can also connect with me on LinkedIn.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being our guest on and being so knowledgeable about this topic, somatic trauma. We're talking
to
Angela Forrest. Thank you, Doc, for having her as a guest. Thank you, Angela Forrest. I know you got to go. You got to sign off.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Thank you to Dr. Watkins. I know that he's already logged off, but I so appreciate both of you for inviting me today. And, I want everybody to heal. I'm still on my healing journey, and I want people to have the resources. And many of these resources are free. You can access them via YouTube. And I just want people to access the resources and do the work so they can be healed.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much for being our guest. It's
Thank
important.
You.
It's important to say that we're, as a society, and it's worldwide, basically, almost worldwide, that we're going through chronic trauma, repeated events of trauma. So we have to learn how to mitigate that as it comes. Support for To Your Health comes in part from Dr. Theodore Watkins of the Watkins Institute. Dr. Watkins advocates holistic medicine and teaches lifestyle changes. Further information is available at twiliving.com. We also want to thank Kalia Chapman, Mike Nasella, our able engineers. Mayuki Williams, Acting General Manager, Katia Stitt, Program Director, and all of the other WPFW staff, engineers, programmers, volunteers, and our loyal listeners. Thank you, Oladari, for your musical contributions, as well as Maka B for doing what you do. Stay tuned to WPFW Jazz and Justice Radio. Next up is African Deep Thought Edition with Brother Kaba. After that, To the East with Ambrose Lane Jr. Listen in next Monday at 2 p.m. for another life-saving, life-changing broadcast of To Your Health.
Salamata, eyes are eyes and a vegan, we're vegan. I and I eat from the earth and need the animals to give birth. No deaders, no fur, no feathers. When I tell people I don't eat meat, fish or dairy, then look for me strangely. Then I realize I eat a very wide variety. Listen to Maccabee. Yo, how when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell him, say me not eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yam. When me tell him, say that I'm a vegan, man. How when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell him, say me not eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yam. When me tell him, say that I'm a vegan. When me no eat no meat, no fish, no cheese, nah, no egg. Nothing with no foot, no eye, no wing, nah, no head. Nothing with no lip, no ears, no tongue, nah, no leg. Prefer fruit and vegetables instead. Ha! Me careful and me choose about what I'm eating. Me medicine, me food is me medicine. When me tell people that me no eat them, they think. They look at me and scratch them chin and start wondering. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan. Bah, couscous and carrot, broccoli and coconut, peaches, apples, apricots.
Part 2 of the 2025 Homeroom Music Festival is Saturday, October 4th at the Aletha Tanner Park in Effingham. The celebration continues with a day of music and culture featuring Junkyard Band, Brandon Woody, plus performances showcasing Latin rhythms and African beats. The festival also brings together live DJ sets, record fair, vendors, community activities for all ages. Details at homeroommusicfestival.com.
The Can I Kick It Outdoor Summer Movie Series presented by Shaolin Jazz is back and is coming to Southeast DC for the first time ever. Enjoy 3 nights of martial arts and action films scored live with hip-hop, soul, and more, mixed by WPFW alum DJ Two Tone Jones. Then on Saturday, October 25th, the series concludes with the screening of I'm Gonna Get You Sucker at the Capitol Hill Boys Club Artist Gallery. Each event begins at 7 p.m. with a guest DJ set, followed by the movie at 8:30 p.m. Blankets and lawn chairs are welcome. For more details, visit shaolinjazz.com. shaolinjazz.com.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. Democratic and Republican congressional leaders are heading to the White House this afternoon for a meeting with President Trump in the hopes of avoiding a government shutdown. If government funding legislation is not passed by Congress and signed by the president tomorrow night, many government offices across the nation will be temporarily closed, and non-exempt federal employees will be furloughed. White House aides have made it clear that the Republican administration has no intention on negotiating, saying that President Trump is giving Democrats, quote, one last chance to be reasonable today. The administration has tried to pressure Democratic lawmakers into backing away from their demands on topics like health care, despite Trump agreeing to hold a sit-down meeting today with several Democratic leaders. Trump has said he wants to keep the government open, but he has also said he will shut it down if he has to, putting the blame on the Democratic Party. A mass shooting is defined as an incident where at least four people are shot, not including the shooter. According to the Gun Violence Archive, there have been at least 324 mass shootings in the United States so far this year. Two mass shootings occurred over the weekend in less than 24 hours. On Saturday night, a man who was identified as an Iraq War veteran opened fire on a waterfront bar in Southport, North Carolina, killing three people and injuring at least eight others. The next day, Sunday, another Iraq War veteran gunned down a group of people, this time in Michigan at a Mormon church. The suspected shooter, who was a Trump supporter, drove his pickup truck into the church during Sunday service. He then shot into the building with an assault rifle and set the church on fire. At least four people were killed and eight others were injured, ranging in age from 6 to 78 years old. The gunman, who has been identified as 40-year-old Thomas Jacob Sanford, was killed within minutes in a police shootout. In a press conference about the attack held this afternoon, authorities say that all church members have been accounted for. New York Mayor Eric Adams announced over the weekend that he is discontinuing his re-election campaign. In an almost 9-minute video, he explained why. Here's what he said in part.
Constant media speculation about my future and the campaign finance board's decision to withhold millions of dollars have undermined my ability to raise the funds needed for a serious campaign. I hope that over time, New Yorkers will see this city thrive under our leadership, and the policies we put in place should be continued and expanded. I hope you will see that despite the headlines and innuendo, I always put you before me, always.
And that was New York Mayor Eric Adams on his discontinuing of his reelection campaign. State Assemblyman Zoran Mamdani and former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo remain in the race for New York mayor. In the D.C. area, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu arrived at the White House earlier today for a meeting with President Trump. This is Netanyahu's fourth visit since the beginning of Trump's second term. Trump has already proposed a 21-point peace plan to end the war in Gaza, which would include releasing hostages and dismantling Hamas. During today's meeting at the White House, Netanyahu apologized to the Middle Eastern country Qatar for violating its sovereignty by launching an attack in their capital city of Doha earlier this month. Netanyahu said the attack was aimed at Hamas leadership only and nothing more. According to a source, this apology was part of a deal so that Qatar could put pressure on Hamas to accept the Trump administration's 21-point peace plan to end the war. The country of Qatar is a critical mediator in ceasefire talks, as it's able to communicate with Hamas, Israel, and the United States. In today's weather, it's currently about 77 degrees in D.C. and New York.